This morning I'm proclaiming the Word of God from the Epistle, Ephesians chapter 2, especially verses 8 to 10. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your gracious Word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may trust your promises and live out the good works you have prepared for us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christian life, we need encouragement. And we need encouragement from God's Word. A clear word from God given to us that we can grab onto and hold tightly, knowing that this Word is our salvation. It fills us with hope, with peace. Also liberates us to show love for each other. Now, in today's Ephesians reading, we have some beautiful, clear words given to us by God for our encouragement and for strength in Christian life. Let's listen to these beautiful words again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. You can't get much more clear than this text is. Our salvation is the result of God's work for us, God's gracious action for us. We are saved not because of what we have done. Even our own faith is part of God's gift. We are saved because of who God is. He is a gracious heavenly Father who in Christ Jesus freely gives us all we need to live by faith in this life and to be received with a warm welcome into the heavenly home. Now, trusting this message does not come naturally. None of us are born trusting God. All of us, from birth onwards, are suspicious. We think there's no such thing as a gift. Everything comes with strings attached, and they're strings that weigh us down, in fact, chains. But God, by his word in Christ Jesus, turns us toward himself, fills us with trust and gives us a new way of life. A new way of life together in his community, the church, the household of God, where we learn what it means to be Christian people, to live at peace with God, to be recipients of his grace, and to be kind-hearted toward one another. Well, let's listen to these words again today. I'll break up these words a little and use some analogies, some pictures, with the aim of helping us receive the fullness of God's word and what it means for us. Here are the first words again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Well, here's an analogy or a picture to start with. Back in the ancient world, not every baby that was born was welcome. And in the ancient world, it was not uncommon for newly born babies to be exposed to the elements. If they were unwanted, they were simply taken off to a remote place and left there to die from exposure or being fed food for wild beasts. A baby in that situation, utterly helpless, in the realm of death, no way to resolve its life-threatening situation, completely dependent on a gracious passerby. You know, the early church would see babies in this situation, and our early brothers and sisters in the faith would take babies like this home and care for them, show grace to them. They could not save themselves. They were in the realm of death. Only an act of grace could bring them back into life. Now let's think of a little baby like that, exposed to die, but then the recipient of grace, brought into a home, given the gift of brothers and sisters, fed and cared for, and shown parental love. The baby did nothing to earn this, simply the recipient of grace. The baby could not boast that they became a part of the family through what they'd done. They were in the realm of death with nothing to offer. It was surely by grace that they are brought into the household. And as they grow in the household, they learn the rules of the household, they learn how to live together with their brothers and sisters, and they become heirs. Not simply people in the household cared for and then sent away, but really part of a family and all that this means. The relationships, the knowledge of how the household works, and the share in the inheritance. Things like that happen even now through adoption in this world, but the contrast was stark in the ancient world. A young baby in the realm of death, taken into the realm of life by the gracious act of loving adoptive parents. Now, if you can get that picture, think about what that's like. Then know that this is how it is for all of us in this world. We are born spiritually helpless in the realm of death. None of us can save ourselves. We are exposed to the spiritual elements, to predators who will take us apart and feed on us. But the good news of Christ Jesus is that God adopts us graciously through Christ Jesus, our big brother, brings us into his household and shares all his good gifts with us, gives us freely many brothers and sisters, provides us with what we need day by day, gives us nothing less than the gift of his Holy Spirit, and makes us, with Christ Jesus, heirs to eternal glory. We can't boast about this. We did nothing to earn this. We were like infants in the realm of death, exposed to die. But by the gracious act of Christ Jesus, we are brought into a loving household with God himself as our Father and many brothers and sisters, a gift to us. This is God's word. This is what God wants us to understand. We don't need to think that we earn our way into the household. Imagine a child adopted who had been exposed and later on thinking that they were chosen to be part of a household because they were so good at doing the dishes, or because they mowed the lawn so neatly, or because they could get on so well with their brothers and sisters. This is not why they're a member of the household. This is what they learn within the household. These are the good works of the household. But coming in was a sheer act of grace. So, if you want to know about your relationship with God, know that it is the result of God's grace towards you. Don't worry about whether you're good enough to be a child of God, or whether you're good enough to be part of the church. None of us is by nature. We are sheerly here by the grace of God. And God gives us his clear word so that we can understand this and grow in maturity as Christian people. If sometimes you're assailed by doubts, thinking that you're not good enough, that you have to do works to really get God's approval and real status in the household, come back to God's word. Because where God speaks, there is peace. Where God speaks, there is freedom. And his word is spirit-filled. The word which is spirit-filled here frees us by that same spirit to call out to God as Abba, Father, so that we know that we're dearly loved children. And we need to hear this message of reassurance over and over again. You know, children growing up in a household need to hear words of love from their parents, whether they are born naturally into the household or whether they are adopted. Children need to hear that they're loved, that they're cared for, that they have a secure and safe place. And none of us stop being spiritual children. As our Lord Jesus says, it's the little ones who are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And to be welcomed in ourselves, we need to become like little children, open to receiving words of love and assurance, and taking these words as words from a heavenly Father, not being too proud to listen to these words, but simply to have open ears and to let God's word do its work on us, to let God's word win trust from our hearts and draw us home. Now, one of the beautiful things about this reading from Ephesians is not only does it speak very clearly about God's grace to us in a way which moves our hearts, but also shows us what God's grace does, where God is leading us freely. This is what God's word also gives us today. Listen to these words. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. We don't come into God's household through good works. It doesn't work that way. We come in through the grace of God alone. But now, as children in the household of God, as brothers and sisters together, we have good works which God has prepared for us to do, and good works which we can grow into. And again, I'll use an analogy here from my own home. In my own home, I have children, four of them, and were born into the household. They didn't work to become my children. They didn't pass an entrance test. They were born. We received them as gifts from God to us, my wife and I. And we're thankful to God for them. Now, as our dearly loved children, they grow together in the good works, if you like, of the Pierce household. Here's a good work of the Pierce household: doing the dishes, right? I want my children to grow and to learn to live well in a household, and part of living well is being able to do dishes, right? Can you imagine living well in a household without being able to do household chores? It'd get quite difficult. Now, it's hard when they're little for them to do this, but they can grow by doing simple tasks. Maybe simply putting a plate back to where it should go. Maybe then taking a towel and starting to wipe up the hardier objects, working their way to wiping up glasses and stuff like that. I like my children to do these things. And as they grow, to do more serious tasks, indeed like mowing the lawn. Maybe have to show them how to do it and maybe put up with some work which is not so crash hot to begin with. But as a dad, I want them to grow. There are good works prepared for them to do, and they can grow as children into these good works. It'd be ridiculous to think that by doing these good works they become my children. That would never cross my mind. And I never want it to cross their minds either. I would be saddened to think that they thought they were my children only because of good works they'd done. This would also make me terribly sad if one of my children said to themselves, I'm a good child in the family. I'm better than my brothers or sisters because I do really what mum and dad want. It's true that I want my children to grow in good works, but I'd be saddened to think that that is the basis of their relationship with me. They're graciously part of the family to grow together in the family. That's how it is also for us here in this congregation, in the wider church. We are graciously part of God's family here, and God has prepared good works for us to do so that we grow as Christian people, mature, and learn what it is to be part of a household of God, so that in our behaviour and actions we show that we are children of God by the way that we speak with each other and live together, and also deal graciously with those outside the church. Now, it's interesting in the Ephesians reading that at this point St. Paul does not spell out what the good works are. He simply talks about them. But elsewhere in the letter to the Ephesians, we get a good idea of the sort of things that St. Paul is talking about. So, for example, later on we hear these words: be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. What's the character of our Father? He is forgiving. He is tender-hearted. He's kind. How do we know this? Because of what he's done for us in Christ Jesus. Well, we grow as children in the household, trusting in this Father, learning his character through his grace towards us, and then growing as we share this character with others too, being kind and tender-hearted towards them. Now, we don't need to spell out too much what this looks like. Most of us can sense very clearly what kind behaviour and tender-hearted words are. And if we don't know what it's like from the inside, then we learn about it in the Christian community by seeing it modelled for us by others who are mature in the faith. Now, of course, this doesn't mean being soft-headed. Being tender-hearted doesn't mean being soft-headed. St. Paul can also say, also in Ephesians, that we can speak the truth in love. Sometimes in the Christian household, we need to have straight words, words of admonition or even challenge. We know that our Lord Jesus did this with his disciples, and we know that the apostles also did this in the life of the church. All you need to do is read St. Paul's writing, and he's often very straight with the congregations to whom he writes. St. Paul was kind, tender-hearted, but also hard-headed. He could speak the truth in love. And that's also for us, speaking the truth in love to one another. The harder the word we have to say is, the more we can think about saying it in a loving way, being like God, who shows true love for us. All of us here have either been children or parents, and we know that words in a household sometimes need to be spoken, straight words, challenging words. But we know that true parents who love their children speak these words in great love, wanting the best for their children. Well, this is the word of God for us today. Thanks be to God that we have such clear teaching in Scripture, that we can know that we're part of God's household by grace, and that God demonstrated this in Christ Jesus, who gave his life up for us. As God's dearly loved children, we can simply fall trusting into the open arms of our Lord. He's not far away. He's here among us. He is here to save us, to heal us, to help us, to grow us in maturity as brothers and sisters in the household of God.